Blog Talk Radio. Bendito Pai, em nome de Jesus, te glorificamos mais esta oportunidade que nos dás de servirmos. Oramos a Ti para que Tu dês glória, Senhor, ao Teu nome, que o Teu povo seja abençoado. Pedimos que abençoes os Teus filhos, John, Kenneth, a filha Kathy, Senhor, por ter aceitado este convite. Que eles possam sair abençoados, Senhor, desta comunhão, sair acrescentados, Pai, desta comunhão com os Seus irmãos aqui, e que Tu, Deus, dês a conhecer o trabalho dos Teus filhos, para que mais vidas possam ser beneficiados da alegria, da sabedoria do Teu povo, que tem levantado, Senhor, este ministério, a saúde do Teu corpo, Senhor. Que Tu estejas abençoando todos os Teus filhos aqui, e que possamos todos nós sair abençoados diretamente por Ti, Senhor. Derrama o Teu Espírito Santo e glorifica o nome de Jesus. Nós te pedimos em nome de Yeshua. Amém. Amados, nós estamos divulgando hoje, através de dois convidados muito, muito especiais, dois irmãos que são muito queridos para as nossas vidas. O irmão John, que é conhecido por John Baptista, e o seu companheiro de ministério, o irmão Ken, aceitaram estar aqui presentes hoje para dar a conhecer o seu ministério. Eles têm um site chamado Tribulation Now, têm um programa de rádio também. E a razão que nós estamos divulgando este trabalho é que estes irmãos foram uma inspiração para nós fazermos o trabalho que estamos fazendo. Foram os primeiros irmãos que abriram as suas portas ao Ministério Destruindo Fortalezas para dar o testemunho em terras americanas. E por isso, e também porque o trabalho é digno de dar a conhecer, o trabalho de vigilantes, de homens do muro, que estão na brecha pelo corpo de Cristo, que constantemente alertam o corpo, tentam informar, fazer o trabalho que muitas congregações não fazem, é digno de estarmos divulgando este trabalho. Já pusemos o site dos irmãos no chat room, iremos pôr de novo, mas eu peço que tenham paciência porque há muita gente que vai ao programa, só fala em inglês, estamos trabalhando em duas línguas ao mesmo tempo. Queremos dar as boas-vindas a todos e pedir-vos que ajudem este ministério. Eles não pedem dinheiro, não estamos falando de dinheiro, estamos pedindo que visitem o site, comecem a divulgar este trabalho, porque é um trabalho que traz muitos, muitos ataques a estas pessoas. O inimigo não gosta que seja divulgado os seus esquemas, que seja divulgado os seus diferente, mas estes irmãos há mais de 3 anos que fazem isto. E por isso é digno nós estarmos hoje dando a honra a quem merece. Visitem, eu estou pondo um link para o site dos irmãos, eles também têm um programa de rádio, lá encontrarão os links para o programa de rádio. E eles fazem geralmente dois shows por semana, à quarta, à noite e ao domingo à noite. Eles estarão fazendo um programa à noite. Se vocês quiserem conhecer a profundidade deste trabalho, como também de uma forma muito divertida, eles conseguem falar de assuntos tão sérios que dizem respeito ao corpo de Cristo, ao reino de Cristo. Vocês apareçam e ajudem a divulgar, porque para nós, se vocês gostam deste trabalho do Ministério de Estudos de Fortaleza, em parte ele deve a esta inspiração destes irmãos. Que Deus abençoe a todos. Estaremos também dando as boas-vindas em inglês aos nossos amados irmãos. E depois teremos o habitual período de louvor. E de seguida iremos chamar os dois convidados. E estaremos indo mais além, dando a conhecer este ministério a todos vocês. Que Deus abençoe em nome de Jesus. Amém. My brothers and my sisters, once again I want to welcome to all of you that spare your time with us, that are here welcoming John and Brother Ken. I know that Kathy is on chat room. Blessings to you, my sister. I know that you are a great woman of God, that you don't like to come to the front door. I respect that, but I want you to know that you are very dear to us, and if you want to come, just tell me on chat room and I will be glad to receive you also with us here to hear your voice. I welcome our brothers and sisters that are on chat room. Thank you for your presence. I am very happy to be on our show, to have on our show Brother John. He is known as John Baptist and is partner on the ministry of Tribulation Now, Brother Ken. It's a great, great, great pleasure to me, because I want to everybody that are here in this show or that will hear after, that it's because of these two brothers that this program, Destroying Strongholds, exists. They were inspiration for us. Before I ever thought making a radio show, I only was publishing some blogs. I was invited by Brother John to his show, Tribulation Now, because when he heard my testimony, he felt the Holy Spirit. And he invited me, and even with so much fight that the enemy put, I was able to speak on his show. And I want you to know that if you today have this show also to worship our Lord, because of people like Brother John and Brother Ken and Kathy, that one day they heard the voice of our King calling them to this ministry, to this wonderful program that we all have pleasure to hear twice a week. And it's a double pleasure for me to announce such a success of this ministry without asking money to the people. This is the living proof for that what we fight here to clean the house of God from the mercenary. It is possible to do the work of God without the money of the others. God provides these men everything they need. They have gratitude to our Lord and Savior by his sacrifice, by his provision. And they are online all week, twice a week, sharing with the brothers the joy of being saved by Jesus Christ, of belonging to Jesus Christ. And for me, I have no words to say to Brother John and Ken and Kathy how much I am thankful for the open door that they, for the door that they opened to me to share my testimony live on their show. So I will be calling Brother John and Ken live here to share with us the purpose, the history, the fight, and also the actual fight of the body of Christ in their perspectives. We will be talking, and I hope that we have a blessing here. It's almost night, afternoon for you in America, and I ask God to bless our brothers. They are a blessing for us, but tonight I want that this show will be a blessing for our brothers also. I want them to leave this place, this radio show, with the joy that we all feel when we are together here. And I know that Jesus is faithful to respond to this prayer. I want to prepare my dear brothers and sisters to rejoice in the Lord first. We will have 10-15 minutes of worship, and then I will bring live John. And I will bring also live Brother Ken. And I know that Lord has purpose to all of us tonight or today for you. Please, let's rejoice in the great King that we all have, the great Savior that we all love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Quão lindo. is the story of a son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with the bride and groom in a wedding by a glassy sea. Oh, death, where is your sting? 'Cause I'll be patient.
The song comes up, it's
Amen. Father, please keep your hands above us. Keep your hands on your people and take us where you want us to go. Bless your children. Bless our guests, John and Ken. And give us your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that we have our brothers online. John, are you there?
Yep, I am. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. And you, brother, how are you?
Blessed. Praise God.
I am so happy to have you here. It's a wonderful night for us to have such a illustrious guest that you are in the kingdom. It's I don't have words to say that how I am pleasure to have in our show, because you are one of the reasons that this became possible. I want you to know this, okay?
Praise God, brother.
Let me just see if Brother Ken is online also. Brother Ken, can you hear me?
I hear you, Brother Jose. Praise Jesus. You sound good. The music was a blessing. We worship with that song at our small gathering every week here in Pittsburgh. Praise Jesus. I'm excited to be here, brother.
Brother, it's an honor for me to speak with you for the first time. I know that you speak a lot in the program of tribulation now, but we never spoke one with each other. But I want you to know that I always hear your advices, I always hear your commentaries, and you are one of the reasons that the program of tribulation, it's one of the most exciting and insightful shows that I have seen in Block Talk, in live shows, because you and John are one man show there, and I lost my times that I have almost died laughing with you two guys and your conversations there. You are wonderful because you can speak things that are so serious and make us laugh and make us so light inside. I want you to thank you for helping John to bring us this project that I know that came from our father, and for your disposal there to help John and Kathy. Thank you very much. Feel at home, okay, brother?
Well, thank you, Jose. All praise to Jesus. And you know what? It's just a joy to be able to share the light of truth with people out there. And I just pray that we can co-labor with Jesus today and bring some more people
Amen.
To the kingdom, God's glory, okay?
Amen. Amen. This is a program I am speaking for you both, John and Ken. This is a program that I wanted to do because I wanted to thank you in first place for letting me, you were the first ones that let me spoke what God has told me to do, the experience of my life, and God led me to John. He opened that door. Since that day, God never more stopped for blessing our house here, and this is more than gratitude. This is confessing how inspirational, sorry for my English, you are for us here, because you are two spirits, two great spirits that bring light to the heavy path that some of us has to walk to find salvation that Jesus has. And you, every time that we hear you both, you make us laugh, you make us more light and bring us light where sometimes so much people only see darkness. You are a kind of light in the end of the tunnel for a lot of people. And I want to start with John. I want to know, I want that our people that are hearing to know who is John, how did it all start, John? What was the miracle that made you to start that project? And don't mind if I interrupt you, because I want to update this in Portuguese, okay? Because I want to know that the people that speak Portuguese, they will understand everything, okay? But please, I'm going to start with John. John, please tell us a little bit of you.
Yes. Well, back in 2009, I started studying why 9/11 was not as the government suggested it was. So I woke up to the collapse of the World Trade Centers and the situation, the truth behind what actually happened. I believe it was back in 2005. And then that shattered my worldview, and I became very aware that things were not as they seemed, and began a deep study and research of what was happening in the world, and realized that we are in a very desperate situation across the earth, that the information that we're being told by the news media is not the truth. And I started to research this. Everything that I could get my hands on, I started to research. Not just the major news reports, but also information associated with our history, information associated with ancient history going back prior to Jesus' time here on earth, going back to the ancient Sumerians, and over about a year of deep research, I started to realize that for more than 3,000, even 4,000 years, that there was some kind of plan that existed going back pretty much to the Garden of Eden that was manifesting today on a level that I could not completely understand. And then I asked myself the question, why? Why, what are these aliens? What are the, you know, what, why, you know, that was the missing link for me. I could not, of all the things that I, in you know, researched, you know, 9/11, World War II, World War I, Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin incidents, all the different things, you know, the Giuseppe Mazzini letter of Albert Pike to Mazzini back in 1871 or 77, I forget. But anyway, you know, about the three world wars that hadn't existed and all these things that were pointing to the day that we live in now. And I could not get my arms around what the common factor was. There had to be something linking hundreds of years of planning and claims and orchestrated wars and all this stuff. What was the common link? And I realized at one point that it was ultimately a war of sorts between Lucifer and God. That it was all about what is in the Bible today. And then I knew that what we're seeing unfolding today mapped back directly somehow, complete with the UFOs, complete with the aliens, complete with the world wars, complete with the famine and the pestilence, and all the financial collapse and the rioting in the streets. I knew that it all had to match up to the Bible, and sure enough, it did. And that's what woke me up and made me excited about the day that we live in today. The day right now is the greatest moment on the earth since the earth was created, ever. And it is a time that we should rejoice in, not be afraid, but be happy and excited, because now is the greatest impact that we can make on this earth since the foundations of the world. Praise God.
Amen. This is the spirit that I am used to hear in your show, you see. Even when the most dramatic things are happening, you and Ken and Kathy also made us have hope, because it's this spirit of adventure, of warrior, that inspired me, that made me feel, oh, I could use this to so much poor people that are here with sad spirit, with religious spirit in Portugal, in Brazil, in Africa. I could use this. And this is why I said to you and to Ken and to Kathy, you are a fount of inspiration for us, and I will come after us. And I hope that we kick a lot of devil butt ass before we go up. This is my profound wish, that we make the devil army with a lot of casualties before Jesus takes us. But I'm going to update this in Portuguese. In Portuguese, then I will go ask the same thing to Brother Ken. So just give me 1 or 2 minutes, okay? Eu perguntei ao irmão John como é que isto tudo tinha começado, este programa que alcança tanta gente nos Estados Unidos. É um programa que é ouvido 2 vezes por semana por milhares e milhares, se não mesmo milhões de pessoas, e que tantas vezes tem contribuído para que as pessoas acordem e comecem a montar o puzzle da vida, porque foi o que ele teve a falar. Para ele começou com as quedas das torres, no 11 de setembro de 2001, e como isso tudo abalou aquela estrutura americana, não é? E com o passar do tempo, como as suspeitas viraram quase certezas, não é? Que havia coisas por trás daquilo tudo, como é que era possível aquilo ter acontecido nos Estados Unidos, 2 aviões embaterem contra dois dos maiores edifícios da América, e uma nação tão poderosa, tão cheia de tecnologia, ter permitido que isso acontecesse, todo o desenvolvimento que isso gerou em termos de segurança. E ele começou a juntar as coisas, e com todas as outras pessoas que contribuíram para isso, ele despertou para a realidade do puzzle que está por trás da nossa existência. Que isto tudo são acontecimentos que estão marcando uma geração. E ele foi um dos que ficou marcado com esta geração. Levou a reequacionar tudo. Começou a ver que por trás daquilo que a gente vê como realidade, a realidade económica, política, social, histórica, há muita coisa que faltava ligar. E ele começou a sentir a necessidade de investigar as coisas espirituais, a Bíblia, relacionar os acontecimentos com aquilo que Jesus tinha profetizado, e começou a sentir a necessidade de ir mais fundo do que aquilo que o sistema estava oferecendo ao cristão normal, ir para a igreja ao domingo, trabalhar. Ele começou a ir mais fundo e aprofundou-se até chegar a várias peças que começaram a montar o puzzle, não é? A história dos Iluminatas, as sociedades secretas, ele continuou cavando por aí, a luta entre o bem e o mal, e está continuando nesse processo, e está usando este programa para trazer esse conhecimento aos guerreiros que têm que se preparar para estes dias, porque nós temos que ter fé em Jesus, mas Jesus deu-nos ordens para nós. Nós temos uma luta para travar. Nós vamos travar essa luta qualquer das formas, seja como vítima ou como vencedor. Então foi este espírito que também nos inspirou. Ele disse que para mim eu poderia usar este espírito de guerreiro que ele tem, que não se rende nem quando está transmitindo as maiores graças que estão acontecendo acima do planeta. Ele e o irmão Ken conseguem dar uma leveza ao espírito das pessoas, que sempre com brincadeiras ao mesmo tempo, sempre com uma forma ligeira de amortecer os danos psicológicos, todos estes esquemas diabólicos que estão à nossa volta acontecendo, rumores de guerras, as catástrofes, o derrocar do sistema financeiro, tudo isto, parece que não, mas dia após dia, semana após semana, vai pesando na vida do cristão, por mais forte que ele seja. Mas Deus tem os abençoado com um programa onde o Espírito Santo traz leveza. Nós vamos ouvir como é que isto começou tudo também para o irmão Ken, como é que ele veio parar este programa, como é que ele veio a conhecer o John e como é que hoje eles são uma das duplas mais prósperas em termos de coisas espirituais, do reino de Deus, do reino de Jesus Cristo, de anunciar o verdadeiro Evangelho. Brother Ken, it's your turn now. Please let us know how you were brought to this project, to this beautiful dream of our Lord.
Well, Brother Jose, my story's similar yet different from John's. My journey began back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I got saved. I was raised Roman Catholic, and all the religiosity that you spoke about was my life. So I knew about God, and I knew about Jesus, but didn't know him in relationship. And after I got saved, I asked the Lord to reveal truth to me. And then through a series of supernatural events, I was introduced to a man named William Cooper. And very shortly thereafter, William Cooper, the author of Behold a Bell Horse, and
I know who is Bill Cooper. He's a great, great man, very courageous man. I hope to see him in the eternity one day.
Amen, brother. So early in the 90s, I became a researcher for him in a group he had called CAGI, C-A-J-I, Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. And we did the research, his radio show, and also for his newspaper, Veritas. And I worked with a woman named Michelle Moore, who was a station chief, and she was the author of the book Oklahoma City Day One, which described the complicity of the federal government and many agencies in the bombing of the federal Murrow government building down in Oklahoma City back in 93. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching all this. I was working very ardent in the truth movement, and through the process I drifted away from the rock, Jesus Christ. And then by the time the World Trade Center attack had occurred, I was no longer working with William Cooper, and Michelle and I stayed in touch, but I had basically backslidden, was out pursuing my fortune in the world. So when the Trade Center collapsed, I knew what it was immediately. Yeah. However, I didn't care. And then when I started to see all of the things come together for the financial collapse, I started to see that in 2007, and I realized that all the things that we talked about on the Hour of the Time were actually beginning to happen. And I saw it with the National Security Acts and all that. I started to repent, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And there was a mighty move of God, just like the prodigal son. And by his grace, I came back. And then early in 2010, I saw one of John's articles. And I emailed him. I said, I can confirm everything you're writing in these articles. And then we struck up an email conversation. And very soon, we were on the telephone and fellowshipping through his Tribulation Now ministry, behind the scenes, so to speak. He had what he called a think tank. There was another word he used. But nonetheless, we fellowshipped. And then John and I talked, and we were talking. And one thing led to another. We said, we ought to do a radio show, and that became Tribulation Now. So I believe the Lord moves through all of that, and he is so gracious and he's so good, and what he wants to do is see each of his sons and daughters come home. So if there's anyone listening out there that thinks the Father won't forgive him, he will if you repent and you call upon the name of Jesus and you just repent of your sins and come back to him. He is gracious and kind, and he will forgive you of all your sins. And he did it for me. I'm so grateful. Now, John and I fellowship in truth, and there's one thing I just want to wrap up on. Jesus said, the Spirit giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. So although we know all these truths, we must stand grounded in the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because that's the only way we're going to be victorious in this battle we wage, because it began back in Genesis chapter 3, where God said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That's what John was talking about. And that battle goes all the way back even before that with the great angel wars. And what's so exciting about this is we're part of it through the spirit of adoption, like Paul told the Romans in chapter 8. We are partakers in the divine nature of Jesus Christ when we suffer with him. The fellowship of suffering that Paul talked about. When we suffer with Jesus Christ, we become joint heirs with Jesus through the spirit of adoption, and then we become priests and high kings in this battle, and it's so exciting. So that's where we have to stand, in the spirit. We have to stand in the spirit, walk in the spirit, and live in the spirit. When we do that, we're going to be victorious, and God's going to be glorified, and we're going to work with him to set the captives free.
Amen. And you know, brother, when is someone like you that have experienced that experience of the prodigal son and have returned and received again the hug of the Father, and it's someone like you that experienced it in your own life, things like this, when you speak, I know there is a lot of people there. Maybe they are not on the chat room, because we have a lot of people that don't know how to use the chat room, but they are hearing. They are feeling the same thing that I'm feeling. It's the gratitude in your heart. It's the living gratitude. The Holy Spirit is moving in my heart, and I know that is a lot of people saying, there's hope for me. There is hope for me. I know that I come away from my purpose, but I know that you and John, you are a lot of people that are being used by God to prepare a great, great, great army of warriors, spiritual wars that have tried and they have been frustrated with this world, and they are so much ready to fight the good fight. And this is our call is to help those that still want to know Jesus Christ, that still want to know the purpose why they were created. Because I have experienced, you have experienced, I know that John has experienced. When this life, all it's resumed to eat, drink, go to bed, wake up again, go to work, eat, drink, become so heavy that only the kingdom of Jesus, only the work of the King can make us happy. Do you agree, John? Are you there, John?
Hello. I'm sorry, what did you say?
Were you hearing us? I was cutting. Do you agree what I said? When we experience the routine of this fake world, fake happiness, that work, eat, drink, sleep, awake, eat, drink, sleep, awake, only the work of kingdom, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, can make us happy. Do you agree?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, once you wake up to the futility of the matrix that we live in, this hologram of a quasi-reality that isn't real at all. When you realize who we are in the grand scheme
right.
of all of reality, and you realize that we're not from this world. We're not from this world. We never have been from this world. And our existence here is an anomaly. And when you understand that, and you see the greater picture, and you see how huge this opportunity is, then everything changes. It doesn't mean that waking up every day isn't hard. It doesn't mean that the suffering that you're going through right now is not hard. It doesn't change the immediate problems that you struggle with in your life. But what it does is it expands your hope. Now, today, because Daniel 12 has become a reality and knowledge has increased, now we have, unlike in the past, we now have the ability to see things and to learn things that and the maturity as Christians to understand things that we could not have understood 30 years ago. We could not have understood even 15 or 20 years ago. And now we look on these things and we say, wow, okay, so 9/11 was an inside job. The Babylon the Great, the United States of America, orchestrated the conflict in the Ukraine. Okay, the Gulf of Tonkin incident never really happened. It was just an orchestrated event that was passed along through the press to trick people into accepting a war that never had to happen. When you realize that we're living in a type of dream world that doesn't really exist the way that we think that it does, and you map it right. back to the Holy Bible, then you start to search. You search for why? Who are we? Why are we here? Who art man that thou art mindful of him? Why do so many religions, the Hindus and all the different religions of the world, I mean, you know, you could take your pick, the Aborigines, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, why do so many religions of other cultures all, ultimately paint out this idea that there is a single source? The New Age, for example, the New Age tells everybody, the Galactic Federation of Light, if you will, call them what you want, okay, the New Age, the Far East Hindu religions, the Theosophy religions, all teach that God is unknowable, but yet God is not unknowable. The very fact, if you make God unknowable, then by virtue of doing so, you condemn yourself, because the whole purpose for our existence, the whole reason for our creation is far-reaching. It goes beyond this earth. It goes beyond this creation. It goes beyond our existence as we know it in this time-space continuum. It is far greater than just predestination. It's much more grand and much more amazing. When the Bible says things hidden in the mysteries of the Scripture that hint around. They make allusions. They make implications about our existence prior to this earth, before the foundations of this earth. Where, for example, in the book of Jeremiah, where the Lord says, "I knew you before you were in the womb." Okay, when you embrace that and you truly understand how huge this is, that this is just a very short transition, a test for all of us to endure, and you realize that it's 100% centric on us recognizing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then suddenly the Hindu religions, the New Age religions become a very, very dangerous trick of Lucifer,
right,
and those, because they demote Jesus Christ as the King. And Jesus said in the scripture, which is so very true, that "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but through me." What is fascinating is if you study the ancient mystical Gnostic religions, if you study the Hindu Vedas, if you study the Bhagavad Gita, if you study the writings of the ancient Sumerians, one of the things that you quickly realize is that there is a consistent inconsistency whereby,
right,
they paint out the Father, our Heavenly Father God, as an unknowable creator source. And that, along with painting out our King Jesus, the only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father, as an ascended master only, equal to Krishna, Buddha, and other of these beings, what happens is very quickly, while much of what they are saying is true, by demoting Jesus and our Heavenly Father and making him an unknowable being, a creator source, one that we can never have a relationship with, they doom us to ultimately an eternity in hell, because our destiny here on this earth is to determine if we have the spiritual acuity and ability and capacity to understand who Jesus is. And if we don't pass that test, then we have to ultimately be discarded, because as the Lord, our Heavenly Father, creates the new heavens and the new earth and recreates all of creation once again, those who were unable, those who were part of the angel wars and failed the test initially in the beginning, and fail it yet a second time while we are here on this earth, will not be allowed to move on to the next level, to be rose up as a new generation, as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood for the next age, which has so many exciting mysteries and awesome possibilities that words cannot possibly describe. The new millennium of Jesus Christ on this earth is nothing more than a training ground for all of eternity. Our existence here is so much more grand than the Bible is able to communicate, that we cannot get our arms around it. And the deceptions out there are so powerful, so close to reality, and so strong, yet they demote our Father, they make him unknowable, and they demote our King Jesus to but a mere ascended master. When John 10:30 clearly states that "I and the Father are one." Praise God.
Praise God. Brother, before I update what Brother Ken said and you, I'm just going to throw now the next point. I would like to hear your opinion, because you know that our show, it's called Destroying Strongholds. This is not a choice that it was by me. No, it was a title that God put in my heart, that was something that he urged me to do, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he gave us the power with this sacrifice to do the same or even bigger works than he did. So the first thing that God said, put in my heart, is that I want you to use you, your family, your life, be a stronghold of my kingdom, not a religious stronghold. And I want you to use you to destroy those unfaithful people that once I have blessed, and now they are stealing my glory. They are changing my glory. I'm going to ask you how you deal when you both got the perspective that in the old system, you could not serve the Lord with the purpose that he had for your life. And how you deal day by day with those that thinking they are serving God, but they are not only serving the modern pharaohs on this pyramid materialistic religions called evangelical mega church, that all the slaves pay to be slave. How do you deal with this? Because you do so much for the kingdom and don't ask anything to anybody, just give. Because I know how the grace is powerful. It's more powerful than half-truths. And I want you to hear from your voices how good it is to be in the real kingdom, and how do you deal with those that are still hypnotized on that serpent pyramid. But before I go, before you answer, I will start with Brother Ken. I go to update to what the brother can answer me and what you said here, ok? Just give me 2 minutes. Eu perguntei ao irmão Ken como é que também tinha sido a história dele. Ele diz que foi um pouco diferente da história do John. Ele conheceu o senhor mais cedo, também é um pouco mais velho que o irmão John. Entretanto, ele tinha nascido também num ambiente católico, depois foi estudar, entretanto entrou no Evangelho através do sistema tradicional evangélico, mas afastou-se novamente, até que um dia conheceu uma pessoa que foi um grande protagonista nas últimas décadas do último século na América, chamado Bill Cooper. Foi a primeira, provavelmente a primeira grande figura que, através de rádio, de imprensa, abalou o governo secreto americano, as sociedades secretas, desmascarou muito daquilo que hoje nós sabemos, que fez com que as sociedades secretas deixassem de ser assim tão secretas, desbravou muito terreno na questão desses demónios disfarçados de aliens que andam por aí, que são nada mais são do que anjos caídos, os chamados néfilos, os descendentes dos anjos caídos, que andam por aí disfarçados de ETs, que vêm para evangelizar o mundo, para serem os nossos criadores. Mais cedo ou mais tarde vai haver aí uma grande descoberta e uma grande confissão de todos os líderes mundiais, e nós vamos passar a ter uma perspectiva do mundo completamente diferente. Ter uma era cheia de coisas fantásticas, sobrenaturais, a tecnologia já está pronta, todos esses governos, que estão por aí, já andam lidando com essas coisas há muito tempo, já andam a receber tecnologia deles, tal como está em certos livros que já pertenceram à Bíblia, que agora estão na Bíblia, que os anjos vieram ensinar muita coisa que seria proibido ao homem ser conhecido, como o livro de Enoque, o livro de Jasher, mas já lá vamos falar sobre isso. Então ele começou a lidar com essa pessoa, Bill Cooper, e esteve com ele durante muito tempo. Esse senhor acabou por ser morto, eu considero ser um mártir em serviço, apesar de ser uma pessoa que tinha as suas limitações em termos de fé, mas um amante da verdade, um homem segundo o coração de Deus. Ele fez mais por nós do que muitos ditos servos de Deus que estão aí apenas enchendo as carteiras. E entretanto ele tinha-se afastado, teve uns tempos a trabalhar com ele, depois seguiu a sua carreira, se não me engano, académica, até que aconteceu o 11 de setembro. E quando aconteceu o 11 de setembro, o irmão Ken sabia o que estava a acontecer. Tudo aquilo que a equipa do Bill Cooper tinha falado estava ali diante dos olhos dele. E aquilo mexeu com ele. Passado um ano ou dois, ele começou a sentir um peso no coração que tinha que voltar para servir a Deus, servir a verdade. Tudo aquilo que ele sabia que havia encoberto, esse puzzle que as pessoas estavam tentando montar, que o John começou a montar, ele já conhecia. Tinha lidado de perto com a situação. Foi aí que ele se cruzou com os arquivos do John. Começaram a dialogar até que o John teve a ideia de fazer um programa de rádio. E foi assim que eles se juntaram. E foi assim que, até o dia 2, continuam servindo a Deus e abrindo o entendimento de muita gente. Falando de coisas que muitos dos servos de Deus, das pirâmides de Mamon, recusam-se tão pouco a tocar, porque sabem que vão mexer, bater de frente com aquilo que lhes vai tirar o sustento. Falar de aliens, falar dessas coisas, de anjos caídos, vai trazer um ataque sobrenatural contra a congregação, contra a suposta igreja. A igreja é para isso mesmo, estar a batalhar, não é para estar só a encher o bolso e a crescer bucho. Isso não é igreja. Isso é parasita. Isso é parasita do reino. Essas pessoas que estão na linha da frente, que não pedem nada a ninguém, mas que falam a verdade e abrem o entendimento dos cristãos para o sobrenatural, isto é que é reino. Isto é que é evangelho. Jesus batia de frente com o inimigo. Não fingia que ele não existia. Jesus até alertou que não podia servir dois senhores, Mamon e a ele. Há muita gente que diz que é Cristo de boca. Todos os meses tem lá o suor do dinheiro e o trabalho dos outros. É muito fácil servir a Cristo assim. Agora, como estas pessoas fazem, que trabalham, assim mesmo, Deus abençoa a sua vida. E depois ainda vão gastar do dinheiro dele para dar aos outros, para trazer sustento espiritual e muitas vezes material aos outros. Isto é que é servir o nosso Cristo, nosso Deus, nosso Yahushua. Eu agora perguntei como é que eles lidam precisamente com estas lutas, porque estas pessoas são muito por esses parasitas, esses filhinhos de aliens que estão aí, de fato de gravata, vivendo do dinheiro dos outros, esses parasitas da sociedade. Perguntei, e vou começar pelo irmão Ken, para saber como é que ele lida com isso, quando é que ele se apercebeu que ele não ia conseguir cumprir o seu propósito no reino, dentro de um sistema desse, um sistema que o fez afastar durante muito tempo daquilo que era o propósito, não é? Depois, graças a Deus, ele se arrependeu e, perante os fatos, voltou e voltou com energia redobrada. Amen, brother, can you please tell us how do you deal with this parasite of the modern pyramid, religious pyramid, to that doesn't help at all to spread the truly gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you deal with this, and when did you awaken for the reality that you had to leave that Babylon? Can you please tell us?
Well, Brother Jose, on my reconciliation with the Father in the story of the prodigal that I shared earlier, I came to work side by side with a very godly man who got swept away by this worldly system and began to build a mega church. This happened in the mid-2000s, and we grew a congregation from about 200 at a service to about 2,000 And I saw that very transformation happen. And then by the grace of God, he is so just, he is so good, he is so loving, he is so complete. He opened my eyes to this great battle. And if you go back to Genesis 2, there's many beautiful things in the garden, but there are two that are specifically mentioned. The tree of life, which we were supposed to partake of, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they kind of tie to an element in all man, and most people don't understand we have a soul and we have a spirit. And John mentioned on a recent show, Proverbs 20:27, which says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, and it illuminates the heart, or it gives light to the soul. Well, when Adam and Eve died, God made a promise that if they partook, if they ate of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:17, they would surely die that day. Yet they didn't die, because they went on in their stories about them in Genesis 4, and they ate from the tree in Genesis 3. So what God was talking about was a spiritual death. That lamp went out, and they no longer ate from the tree of life, and they began to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan crept in, and through a four-step process, he did what John alluded to with the New Age religions and the Eastern religions. Through four steps, he started to separate Adam and Eve from the relationship they had with God to just knowing about God. He started with dialogue. And in the first two verses of Genesis 3, we saw that the serpent, who was very subtle, the Nakash, the shiny one, and Paul warned us in his letter to the Corinthians that that's Lucifer, who can come as an angel of light, as does his ministers. Well, anyways, he had a dialogue, and he said unto the woman, and then the woman said unto the serpent. So they were having a conversation about the Word of God. And we're never to have conversations about the Word of God. That's where the first problem creeps in, and that's what I saw in these mega churches. We had conversations about the Word of God. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? We're supposed to declare the Word of God. And then the second thing that happened in this separation that the serpent so subtly did is he started to cast doubt and dispersion. He said things like, yeah, God said. You can just hear the sneer in his voice when he was asking Eve those questions, you know? An insinuation of doubt was planted in her mind, you know, by these devil's words. So she's no longer in communion with the Father through the Spirit, but now she's starting to think, and she's allowing her mind to question God's word. So doubt creeps in. And then after the doubt, there starts to be denial, because then the serpent gets really bold, and the woman says, the woman says, you know, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, that's the knowledge of good and evil. If we eat it or even touch it, so now she's adding to the word of God, and then the devil just cinches it here, and he says, ye shall surely not die. And then the delusion begins, and that's what I've seen in these mega churches that are operating in the soul from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not in the spirit from the tree of life. What happens is delusion comes in. And then in Genesis 3:5, the devil says, Eve, you'll be like God yourself, and you'll know good and evil. So that's the core, and that's the basis of all of these Eastern religions, and in fact, religion in general. Christianity isn't truly a religion, if you understand it. It's a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ is we walk like Adam once walked, only better now because we're actually living as the second Adam, Jesus Christ, did. So what's exciting about this is we know this truth. And what's sad is that once you have your eyes open to what I just shared, you can see it so easily. You can walk into these churches and you'll feel something come upon you. And if it's not flowing out of you, it's not the Spirit of God moving. If it's flowing upon you, it's an oppression. It's a religious spirit. And it's so easy once you understand what I just did, and just if the listeners want to understand this, just pray that the Most High God, our Father in Heaven, Jehovah, Elohim, will open your eyes to the truths contained in Genesis 2 and 3 on this matter. And once you see that, then you can discern it, and you have this joy unspeakable because you know you're walking with the King.
Yes, brother, I know that our listeners, most of them, they are awakened because they couldn't be here if God didn't brought them, and God promised that He will brought the elite warriors that He is preparing, not us. He is using us, but He is constructing a personal relationship with with all of our listeners that are here. I know some of them. I am blessed to have our Lord guiding to these people. There are a lot of great warriors here, spiritual warriors, hungry and thirsty for serving the spiritual kingdom, not the materialistic Christianity that we have been assisting to grow there. But these people that we have here, you can talk free, you can go deep, and we will go to heavy stuff about Jasher, about the Book of Enoch, the fallen angels. I want to go, if we have time, I think we have, you have 35 minutes. I want to go deep in the eugenics, the mind lab, but first, I'm going to update this that you have said. I don't want to leave the Portuguese people waiting too much time. Then I go to ask the same question to John, because I know that he has also his own story and his perspective. And I know he is also very attacked on these days with attacks of this parasite. I call them parasites. These are, I think, part of the army, the locust army of the Armageddon. Because in my perspective, Revelation book, it's amongst other things, it's above all things, it's a spiritual book. So if Christians doesn't wake up for the reality that the spiritual Armageddon, it's raging already now, it's upon us, when they wake up, if they're still waiting for the physical manifestation of Armageddon, it will be too late. Because what I have passed in my life to serve Jesus Christ, and I know that you know what I'm talking about, you better believe that my Armageddon has already started a long time ago. I lost people from my family. I lost my father. But what the devil thought it would be a great victory to stop me to serving Jesus Christ today is one of the most inspirational fount to serve him, because I know where my father is now. I know, because God has blessed me with spiritual gifts, and in the day that he died, I didn't saw, but someone told me that had a dream of him as a child in a bicycle entering the heaven through a rainbow. So this is a thing that God gave us to those who are still faithful to Jesus Christ, who love him first, not with 10% of his heart, but with all their heart and their understanding. So if someone has lost someone close, this here, I have lost two. And this only makes me feel more close to Jesus Christ and loving more, because there is nothing here that we will be left here unless the love that we share with our brothers, our sisters. This is what is going to stay here. The rest, naked we came, naked we go. But let me just update in Portuguese, and I go to John with the same question, ok? Amados, o irmão Ken deu-me uma resposta extraordinária, porque ele, durante uns tempos, esteve envolvido no sistema religioso, congregacional, onde ajudou a dar crescimento rápido a uma igreja que quase que chegou aos 2.000 membros. E com o tempo começou a se aperceber dos bastidores daquilo tudo, né? E tal como Eva, ele fez uma comparação extraordinária. Satanás é tão astuto que nós nem nos apercebemos que é ele, né? Quando ele apareceu a Eva, apareceu como uma serpente. Mas era ele. Um animal bonito. Ele de bonito nada tem. Muitas das vezes nós estamos envolvidos em coisas que até parece que são de Deus, mas o que a gente está a fazer é dar ouvidos às vozes erradas, né? A gente começa a ouvir olha, mas será que é isso mesmo que Deus falou? Vamos lá ter aqui uma conversa sobre a Bíblia, sobre a palavra, né? Como eles gostam de chamar. gostam de chamar a Bíblia a palavra. A palavra é Jesus. Eles gostam que a palavra seja a Bíblia, é para poderem manipular a palavra, já que não conseguem manipular Jesus, manipulam a Bíblia. E assim manipulam as nossas mentes. E às tantas, aquelas dogmas, aquelas tradições, não é? Aqueles tributos, né? Nós somos os ungidos e por aí fora. Vocês devem-nos toda a honra. E aquilo instala-se. Foi o que aconteceu com Eva. Eva começou a ser abordada pela serpente. Será que é isso mesmo que Deus quis dizer? Certamente não morrerás. Olha, se calhar Deus não quer é que tu sejas como Ele. E a gente começa a abrir a porta da nossa mente, do nosso coração, para dar ouvidos. E quando damos conta disso, estamos desligados, né? A nossa lâmpada apaga-se. Já deixámos de ouvir Deus e começamos a dar ouvido àqueles que nos vão escravizar. Aconteceu isso com ele. E isso começou a ficar de tal maneira pesado na vida dele que ele perdeu a alegria de servir Jesus Cristo. Perdeu a alegria que tinha tido no início da sua salvação. E por isso, por causa disso, muitos pagam preços terríveis. Acontecem desgraças nas vidas familiares por causa desses sistemas, por causa de Mamon estar lá no meio. Vai-se levedando um pouco aqui, um pouco ali, quando dá por isso, está tudo inchado. Mas não tem conteúdo nenhum, não tem relação, não tem forma de vida cristã, vivem vidas duplas e passam uma vida inteira nisso, enganando-se a eles mesmos. E enganando os outros, fingindo que está tudo bem, que são as pessoas mais felizes do mundo. E são as mais infelizes, como diz lá na Bíblia. Pobres, nus, e pensam que são ricos. Aconteceu com ele. Ele fez uma comparação muito interessante com a própria Eva, não é? Nós vamos ainda abordar mais assuntos, mas vamos ouvir a história do irmão John agora. Father John, please tell us, how do you deal with this Babylon that surrounds us, that is full of locusts, religious locusts, just trying to destroy, to steal, to kill our real faith, our communion with our Father?
Well, eventually, as you begin to wake up to the depth of the corruption, and you look at the world from the eyes of God as best as you can, for we are all crucified in Christ, Galatians 2:20, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When we Amen. Try as hard as we can to look upon the world with the eyes of our King Jesus, we begin to see the words fear and trembling surface in the Scripture. For example, in 1 Corinthians 2:3, we see, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. Then we see in 2 Corinthians 7:15, we see, and his affections are greater for you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how, with fear and trembling, you received him. As it gets better, then you move on to Ephesians 6:5, and it says, bondservants, we are all bondservants to Jesus, it says, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants, Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And then last but not least is Philippians 2:12. And I'm going to answer your question, but I have to set the premise for the answer. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the reason I paint this picture is because, mm-hmm. as we look at the report cards of the seven churches of Revelation in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, what we realize is that every church, every metaphorical church that is described by Jesus is not right with Jesus. Every one of them is not right, with the exception of one, the Church of Philadelphia, which isn't perfect, but is good enough, that is holy and righteous enough, and has overcome the sins of this world enough through fear and trembling to be found worthy to escape all these things that come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man, Luke 21:36. Now, the reason why I say all this is because to the man who is rejected and laying in the street with no family and no home, there is no pit too deep that the love of Jesus is not deeper.
Amen.
The point is that each one of us has our own hill to climb. Each one of us is at a place in our life through fear and trembling that we must find our way to our King and our glory through our Heavenly Father who are in heaven. And so as we look upon the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, we must always remember to have a humble and contrite heart and to know in our spirit that there, but for the grace of God, goeth I. And we have to recognize that they too are our brothers and sisters, and we must humbly and lovingly find a way to bring them too, along with us, to the place that we belong, which is not from here, not from this earth. And I know that sounds almost philosophical, but the reality is that to a drug addict who lays in the street desperate and wanting to commit suicide, he doesn't care if you're Catholic. He doesn't care if you're Methodist. He doesn't care if you're Lutheran. All he wants to find is Jesus. And we have to strip ourselves of the label of this awful earth and find out how we can share that powerful love, that message of eternity and forgiveness, to every single one of us, because we are all in this together. We are all in this together, and we will, hand in hand, get out of this together, one way or the other, through the power of Jesus and the love of the Father God and the kingdom. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen, brother. I'm going to update this extraordinary answer that you gave me. And we have, I think, 20 minutes until the end of the show. The next and the last part of the conversation will be to you both, how should a Christian deal with this fake alien invasion, demon, reptilian thing that will come to be the Antichrist army, and what are the connections to the ancient books that these things have stolen from the scriptures that helped the primitive church to deal with the demons and to fight the good fight with all the knowledge that they had. I want you both to take us a resume about, first, make the connections with all the agenda of stealing this legacy that they gave us, but the serpent seed stole from us. And once that God is giving back all this material now, how can we prepare, how can we deal, what is the truth behind of all this. I'm going to update this, then I will let I will go back to Brother Ken to do question. And but first I go to before I throw it to Ken, I am going to pass here a testimony of someone that I want to bring here to testify of how your work, how tribulation now changed his life. But I'll be right back, okay? So be ready for the question. Então, o irmão John, praticamente assim, em poucas palavras, falou foi que quando uma pessoa tem, como falava Paulo, temor e tremor por não perder a sua salvação, é fácil lidar com essas pessoas que só pensam nos seus umbigos, né? As suas carteiras, que fazem negócio com o Evangelho. Eu sei que há muitos pastores por aí, bons pastores, homens de Deus, que foram confrontados com isso. Muitas vezes cederam a pressões porque estavam rodeados. Mas eles sabem a verdade. Ainda há tempo para sair dessa Babilônia, para pregar o verdadeiro Evangelho, para tirar essa maldição das suas costas, das costas da sua família. Há muita gente saindo, aproveitando a porta da graça que ainda não saiu. E o que o irmão John está falando é isso. É que a qualquer sem abrigo que houver aí na rua, não importa se você é católico, se você tem templo, se você é... O que importa a dar a essas pessoas é Jesus. Essa pessoa tem que conhecer Jesus. Não é igreja, não é frequentar templos. Essa pessoa tem que conhecer Jesus e Deus ainda está dando a oportunidade que você pregue a verdade a essas pessoas, em vez de transformá-los nos prosélitos, como faziam os fariseus. Está na hora de você confessar e dizer assim, não, eu não posso ser maior que o meu mestre. Eu tenho que confiar na graça. Eu não vou fazer do evangelho, do reino, a quem Deus me deu uma ordem de servi-lo de graça, de dar de graça o que de graça recebi. Eu não vou fazer um negócio disto. Eu não tenho esse direito de ser maior que Jesus. Mas você pode pregar judaísmo, você pode pregar Moisés, você pode pregar o que quiser. O problema é que o reino é de Cristo, não é de Moisés, nem é de Isaías, nem é de Abraão. O reino é de Cristo. E um dia você e eu vamos ser julgados pelo exemplo de Cristo. Então é hora de parar de mexer na palavra, de descontextualizá-la e levar Jesus às pessoas. Tirá-las da solidão para uma verdadeira comunhão com o Pai. Deixe Jesus crescer nas pessoas e você peça a Deus para diminuir como fez João Batista. O irmão João disse, em poucas palavras, foi isso. Quando a gente está sendo mexido por Deus, Deus está operando a sua salvação em nós, como Paulo tinha, com temor e tremor, não há outra solução a não ser pregar e viver o verdadeiro Evangelho. E como é bom ser liberto dessa Babilônia religiosa. Amen, brother. Before I go to Ken, I want you to hear this, because I know it's important for you. I am happy to have here this testimony, because you changed the life of this one. Just please hear. try that again.
Well, you have me smiling. You have me laughing here, brother. We just can't let Henrietta hear that. If Henrietta, she's the leader of the hemp house. If Henrietta hears that, she is going to let it go to her head, and she's going to want a new contract. So we can't let Henrietta hear.
Those dang chickens get everywhere. They get in the studio. They get on every show. I don't know what to do. I can't do a radio show without those doggone chickens being in the middle of the show. Buck, 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 chicken, buck, buck. I can't do it. What is going on here?
Brother Jose, they have gotten so bold that they've quit laying eggs. And they said, we don't need to lay eggs anymore. Oh, I mean, you made me laugh, brother. Praise Jesus.
John, this is wrong. It's wrong.
Praise Jesus. Oh, that was good.
Okay.
I like this.
Made me hungry. It's almost dinner time here in the East Coast right now, down in Tampa, Florida. I'm about ready to cook me up some of them chickens.
Okay.
So please, Brother Ken, let's go back to Hurt. Tell us, I'm going to give you 7 minutes, okay, because I want to go back to John before I end the show. You have 7 minutes to connect all the dots, you see? Secret Society,
okay.
Serpent Seed, ancient books, and transhumanism. Oh, it is, okay?
Okay, well, where I would start is in a very short book, which only has 20-some verses, and that's the book of Jude. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, and he gave us an incredible exhortation where he said, Beloved, I give all diligence to write to you of the common salvation. This is the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. What he's passionately writing to us there is he's exhorting us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And then he goes on to warn us that certain men have crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's warning us that men are creeping in. These are the sons of Belial. These are the seed of the serpent from back in Genesis 3. This is from the bloodline of Cain. These are the bad ones. They've been in the church from the beginning, like Paul warned us. Lucifer comes as an angel of light, as do his ministers of righteousness. And they sat at the councils. And right before this call, John and I were talking about the Council of Nicaea. Now, the reason I bring up Jude is because Jude talks about Enoch. And Enoch is a very key book that was taken out of the 66-book canon, except the message didn't get down to Ethiopia, and that was a very powerful church, or to Serbia. So that book remained in their canonical collection of sacred writings because they didn't get the word from Rome. And the reason I'm bringing this up is if you look into the Bible, there are numerous books, and we've talked about it on the show, numerous books that are alluded to in reference to the book of Jasher and many others that have been alluded to but not included. That means that these godly men who had the Holy Spirit of God upon them, moving them like the wind moves a sail, they were like Peter explains to us how this relationship between the Holy Spirit and these men and women who were involved in the collection of these writings, how they came together by God's hand. There are some of these books that aren't there. So what we can do is we can take confidence. And I'm going to tell you this. If Jesus' half-brother, Jude, read the book of Enoch, I'm going to read the book of Enoch. If my brothers and sisters in the church in Ethiopia still consider that sacred scripture, and my brothers and sisters in the church in Serbia still consider that sacred scripture, I'm going to read it. I'm going to take it to heart. The one thing that I always say on the show, and I'll wrap up my point with this so you can get John in, is all truth is contained. Let me word that differently. The 66-book canon is all truth.
Mm-hmm.
All truth is not contained in there. All truth is of God. So what we need to do is we need to be able to go in and discern. So once we're walking in the Spirit, once we understand our fellowship with the Most High God through the lamp, which is our spirit. And once it's filled and overflowing with oil, like the five wise virgins, then we can boldly go into these books in humility and with confidence that the Holy Spirit's going to help us discern. And then we can start to put together these pieces that, like you call them, these parasites started to pull out. But God is sovereign over it all, and what he's done is he has enabled us to get enough of this through to this age so that we can have our lamps lit. And then we can go in as bold servants of our Most High God and start to glean these truths. So I'm standing with Jude, and if Jude read the book of Enoch, so am I.
Right, right. Even Jesus said that you shouldn't be compared to any book. Even John said that there wouldn't be enough books to write the glory of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Even Jesus said to the Pharisees, you look on the scripture or the eternal life, that it's for me that they talk. So he made a separation, okay? He is the Word of God, the Logos. The Bible is Rhema word, but he is the Logos, the meaning, the central, the power of Jesus, the power of God. He is the Word. So Jesus is bigger than the Bible. These guys, they manipulate the Bible to his own doctrine, to his own interest, but they cannot manipulate Jesus Christ. Our God doesn't change. So please, John, take from where Ken leave the speech and take us where you want.
Praise God. Well, what Kenneth said is absolutely, he nailed it. Everything that's in the 66 book canon is true. But everything that's true is not in the 66 book canon. And as you had said, Brother Jose, John 20, verse 30, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Okay, so what is going on? Well, we got Planet X, Nibiru, FEMA camps, FEMA coffins, gray aliens, FEMA trains, mass graves, naked body scanners, guillotines, mind control slaves, Phil Schneider, Bob Lazar, Bruce Walton. We have the Georgia Guidestones. We have MK Ultra, Operation Garden Plot, 9/11, Israeli Mossad, Marvin Bush, Securicom, 7/7 Ripple Effect, Northcon, Russian and Chinese troops, the Denver Airport, deep underground military bases, Atlantis, Lemuria. We have the presidential directives, 9 through 51, 51 being very dark, the continuity of the United States government. We have NDD, the National Defense Authorizations Act of 2012 in the United States, which completely eradicates habeas corpus and allows them to completely bypass all continental or all of your rights as an American citizen and simply just pick you up and take you away. We have the military-industrial complex, chemtrails, HARP, magneto-leviton train systems, genetically modified food, seed vaults, Terminator seeds, Codex Alimentarius, chip implants, alien abductions, Anunnaki, hidden nukes, micro-nukes, underwater pyramids, martial law, Project Bluebeam, hybridized humans, Akhenaten hieroglyphs, pyramid-shaped UFOs, super soldiers, nanotech, hybrid humans, financial collapse, International Monetary Fund, supercurrency. Folks, it's over. Game over. There is no time left. It is a matter of just moments before all this is going to come crashing down upon all of us. The end times is now upon us. I could sit here and read another 3 pages of these bullet points to illustrate the time has run out.
Right.
The only thing that is available to us now is to ascend. Not, as the Lying Galactic Federation of Light suggests in their New Age forgery of our King's awesome heaven, but to ascend into heaven with our new bodies to become what we were always destined to become, to return ultimately to our first estate, to be raptured as the bride of Jesus Christ, because, as Jesus said, he is coming for a bride who is a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is the most important verse to those of us awaiting our escape from this alien demon-infested rock. This is arguably the single most important verse in the entire Bible right now. When these things start to break, when hell manifests upon this earth, your righteousness, your holiness, your practicing of repentance on a daily level, seeking Jesus with all your heart, trying in every way possible to not ever sin again against the cross of our King, is the most important thing in your life right now. And if you just embrace and surrender to that truth, to the truth of our Jesus being our God, being our eternity, being everything. For Luke 21:36 says, pray always to be found worthy to escape all these things that come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. That's all this matters. Move to the next level and enjoy the awesomeness of our eternity. Praise God.
Amen, brother. We have less than 2 minutes. I want to thank you for you and Brother Ken. It was a great pleasure to have you both here. I hope it's the first of many of invitations like that we can do to you, and hope to have you back on another great Sabbath like this one that we had. Thank you, Brother Ken. Thank you, John. I will be joining you to hear your show tomorrow. I know that you have a special guest that is most dear for us. It's Zen Garcia. Please, I am so grateful for you to have accepted our invitation. I hope you have you both back soon. We will be ending with this song that resumes all that you have said, John. Thank you once again, Brother Ken. Thank you once again. Thank you, John. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, our listeners. Hope to see you soon back again. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. But I was lost when you